Welcome to Accounting Guruji, powered by Institute of International Accountants. We welcome you all to the online platform of Accounting Guruji. Get enrolled and start up your accountant career in just 40 days. And get hired with the most reputed organizations around the world.
Hi guys, today we're going to talk about the different types of assets, okay? How about we start today's session? We divide assets into two categories or two types, okay? Current assets and non-current assets. Now another name for non-current assets is long-term assets, okay? So how many types do we have under assets? We have two types, current assets and non-current assets. Now what's the other name that we call for non-current assets? Long-term assets. Okay. First, we're going to talk about current asset. Okay. So here, who all comes under current asset? They are all the parties that we've seen so far. Okay. That is all our chapters. If you see, our first chapter was cash and cash equivalents, right? So here, the first person under current asset is cash and cash equivalents. Now, who all comes under cash and cash equivalents? Do you remember? We have cash in hand, petty cash, bank and short-term investments. Okay, so the first person under current asset is cash and cash equivalents. All right, now the second person here is receivables. Do you know that the second chapter that we learned was receivables and payables, right? Okay, so out of that, receivables comes under current asset. Now who all do we find under receivables? We've got accounts receivables, accrued income, and then PDC receivables. Okay, so here when we say accounts receivable, it's when we need to receive money from a party. Okay, now in case we need to receive money from an income, it becomes accrued income. If we've received a PDC, then that becomes a PDC receivables. Okay, so here under receivables, we've got accounts receivables if it's a party, then accrued income if it's an income, that is if we need to receive money from an income, then PDC receivables if we've received a PDC. Okay, so right now we see under current asset, we've got cash and cash equivalents and then receivables. The next chapter that we learned was associated companies and related parties and staff's account, right? In short, we call this as ARS, right? So here, the third person under current asset is ARS. And who all do we find there? We have our associated companies, related parties and our staff's account, okay? Now, it's only when these accounts have a debit balance that they become our asset, okay? So in order for ARS to be our asset, it needs to have a debit balance. Our associated companies, related parties and the staff's account, they need to owe us money. That's when they would become our asset. And that's when they would have a debit balance, okay? So here, under associated companies, related parties, and our staff's account, they need to have a debit balance. That is, they need to owe us money. That's the only case where they become our asset, all right? So here, once again, let's see all the parties under or all the types under current asset. The first one was cash and cash equivalents. Now we know under cash and cash equivalents, we've got cash, petty cash, then bank and short-term investments. Okay. Now the second person under current asset is receivables. Now who all comes under our receivables? We've got accounts receivables if it's a party, then accrued income if we need to receive money from an income, then the third person is PDC receivables. All right. Now the third type that we saw here was associated companies, related parties and staff's account. And this is only when these accounts have a debit balance. That is when they owe us money. All right. The next person who comes under our current asset is stock or inventory. Okay, we saw this in our stock chapter, isn't it? Okay, so the next or the fourth person under current asset is stock or inventory. After this, we talked about prepaid expenses, right? So here, when we talk about prepaid expenses and other payments, we know that deferred expense would come under this. That is, it would come under an asset, but it's not going to be under current asset. Okay, so let's keep that aside. Apart from that, we saw prepaid expenses become our asset. Then when we make an advance payment to a party, then when we give a refundable deposit to a party, these were all our assets, right? So when we talk about prepaid expenses and other payments, who all comes there? we have our prepaid expense, which is an asset. Then in case we are giving an advance to a party, that becomes our asset. And then in case we've made a refundable deposit to a party, again that becomes our asset. Okay, so under prepaid expenses and payments, we've got prepaid expenses, advance paid, and refundable deposit paid. Now let's see all of these ones again. Let's say what all comes under current asset. First, we have cash and cash equivalents, and under cash and cash equivalents, we have cash, petty cash, bank, and short-term investments. All right. Now say it along with me, okay? The second person under current asset is receivables, and who all do we find there? Accounts receivables, accrued income, and PDC receivables, right? Now the third person we saw here was ARS, that is associated companies, related parties, and staff's account. When they have a debit balance, okay, that is when they owe us money, that's when they become our asset. All right, now the fourth person we saw is stock or inventory, and then we talked about prepaid expenses and other payments. Now under prepaid expenses, we are not considering deferred expenses here, okay? That's not going to be under current asset. Instead, we talk about prepaid expenses, advance paid, and refundable deposit paid. That's when they are all our asset. Next, we're going to talk about our non-current assets, okay? Now, we know non-current assets can also be called as long-term assets, okay? So, we divided assets into two. The first one was current asset, and the second person or the second type is non-current asset. And what do we call non-current asset? It can be called as a long-term asset as well. All right. Now, under long-term assets or under non-current asset, the first person that we find is our fixed asset. So the first person under non-current asset is fixed asset. Okay. Now what do we mean by fixed asset? Any asset that has a long-term use and that can be touched or seen or is tangible. In other words, it's tangible, right? So long-term tangible assets are our fixed assets. Okay. Once again, what do we mean by fixed asset? When an asset has a long-term use and it can be touched or it can be seen or it's tangible, all right? When it's tangible and it has a long-term use, those assets are our fixed asset. Now, from the description itself, you can say that the other name that we call our fixed asset would be long-term tangible assets, okay? So here, when we remember long-term tangible asset, it's easier to remember the description, right? Assets that have a long-term use and that are tangible, those assets come under fixed asset, okay? So fixed asset can also be called as long-term tangible asset. And now, in short, there's another way that we call fixed asset. It's called PP&E, okay? That's the short for property, plant, and equipment. So in order to remember it quickly, the short form that we use will be PP&E, which is property, plant, and equipment. Now let's see what all comes under our fixed asset, okay? So the first person we see here is motor vehicle. Now one thing to remember here is whether it be a car, a bus, or a minivan, or whatever we buy, whenever it is for a company, that is whatever vehicles we find in a company, all of that will be termed as motor vehicle. We know that a company could have many cars, or maybe it has a bus, a mini bus for its employees travel, or maybe it could be that a company has a delivery van, right? So all of this, when we record it in the book of accounts, we would term it as motor vehicle, okay? So here, when we talk about fixed asset, we use the group name itself as our account name. So whether a company buys a van or a car or a bus, all of that will be termed as a motor vehicle. That is, when we pass the entry, it will be debit motor vehicle A+. Okay, we're not going to find the details in the book of accounts. For that, we are going to maintain another register called fixed asset register. Okay, there we would mention the price of it or the date that we bought, if there's a reference number, that, and all the other details will be found in our fixed asset register. When we book or when we're going to record this, it would be simply mentioned as motor vehicle. Now we know that a motor vehicle means it has a long-term use and it can be touched, seen, and all of that, right? So it's tangible and it has a long-term use, and that's the reason it comes under our fixed asset, okay? So fixed asset means it has to be an asset that has a long-term use and that's tangible. So here the first person that we find under fixed asset is motor vehicle, and we need to keep in mind that whenever we are recording our fixed asset, the name of the group itself will be mentioned as the account name. Now in this case, we know that car or van or minibus, all of that would come under motor vehicle, under the group motor vehicle. This group name is what we use as our account name. Okay, so here when we talk about fixed asset, always remember that the group name itself becomes our account name. All right, now let's move on to the remaining fixed assets. Okay, so the first person we saw was motor vehicle. After that, we have land and building, office furnitures. Now, under office furnitures, we are talking about everything, okay, that is chair, table, and all of that, even any of the materials or any of the furniture that you find in our general manager's cabin, right? We would find sofas or things like that. All of that would come under office furniture. Then the next person is office equipments. So here we're talking about any of the equipments that we have in our office, like a printing machine or so on. Okay, now similar to that itself, we have plant and machinery. That is, in case our company has a production unit, we would have a lot of plant and machinery there, right? So all of that would come under our fixed asset. Then we see computers and softwares. So here, in case we are buying a computer or we've bought a software, all of that would be recorded in general as computers and softwares. Okay. Now, the final person that we see here is leasehold improvements. Okay. Now, what do we mean by leasehold improvements? For example, imagine that you've taken an office space for rent. Okay. Now, we know that we would do some interior decorations there. Right? So this is an example of our leasehold improvements. So such improvements would come under leasehold improvements, and that is our fixed asset. Okay? So once again, let's see what all comes under fixed asset. Under this, the first person that we saw was motor vehicle. So any vehicle that you find in a company would come under motor vehicle. Then land and building, it's pretty simple, right? The land and the building that you own. Then office furniture. Now, office furniture could be anything. It could be a chair, a table, or a sofa that you find in your office. So all of that would come under office furnitures. Then office equipments. We saw any equipment that we have, like printing machine or Xerox machines, or you know, any of those kind of equipments in our office. Then related to that itself, we have plant and machinery. That is, in case we have a production unit, you would find many plant and machineries there. Okay, so all of that comes under plant and machinery. That is, we would record it under plant and machinery, and that comes under our fixed asset. Then we have computers and softwares. So in case we buy any software or any laptop or computers, all of that would be recorded under the group name computers and softwares. Okay. Finally, we talked about leasehold improvements. Okay, this is in case we've taken a space for lease and we've done any improvements there, all those improvements would come under leasehold improvements, and that's our fixed asset. Okay, now let's see once again what all comes under fixed asset. We have our motor vehicle, then land and building, office furnitures, office equipments, plant and machinery, computers and softwares, then leasehold improvements. So the first asset that we found under our non-current asset was fixed asset. Okay, and fixed asset can also be called as long-term tangible asset, or it, in short, we call it as PP&E, which is property, plant and equipment. All right. Now we're talking about the second person under our non-current asset, okay? Intangible asset. So here we know these assets would have a long-term use, but they cannot be touched or seen, all right? So from the name itself, you know, intangible asset means they would have a long-term use. That's the reason they are under non-current asset, but they can't be seen or they can't be touched, okay? Now when we talk about the examples here, these examples would have a long-term use, but they can't be touched or seen, right? So that's what we call as our intangible asset. Okay. Now, the examples are patents, trademarks, copyrights, goodwill, any certification like ISO certification or a brand recognition certificate. All of these are intangible, but they have a long-term use or a long-term value. Okay. So under intangible asset, we have patents, trademarks, copyrights, goodwill. Now, what do we mean by goodwill? We know that, for example, when we introduce our capital, imagine that we've introduced 1 million as capital for our company. Okay. Now, after few years, we worked hard and we've expanded the business. It's grown immensely. Now, even now, do we say that the value of our business would be just 1 million? No, right? Because here we would have to add the goodwill of our company. That is, the hard work and all of the effort put in, or the growth of our company. All of that would be taken into consideration when we calculate the value of our company now. That's what we mean when we say goodwill here. Okay. Now, after goodwill, we have certifications like ISO certification or a brand recognition certification. All of that comes under our intangible asset. Okay. So, once again, let's see. Under intangible asset, we have patents, trademarks, copyrights, goodwill, ISO certifications or similar certifications, then brand recognition certification, if any. All right. So, all of this comes under our intangible asset. So far under our non-current asset, we saw the first two types, right? Fixed asset and intangible asset. Fixed asset means it's our long-term tangible asset. Okay. Now the third asset that we're going to see is called fictitious asset. From the name itself, you can guess that there's something wrong here, isn't it? When we say fictitious asset, they're not really asset in nature. Okay. They're actually expenses in nature, but we're considering them as our asset. Okay. That's the reason we call them as fictitious asset. Okay, that is kind of like a false asset, right? So here, let's see what they are. When we go to the examples of our fictitious asset, it's clear to you that they are not really asset in nature, right? They are expenses in nature. But what's the reason that we consider them to be asset? For example, these are expenses, that is preliminary expense or pre-operative expenses, pre-incorporation expenses. All of these are the expenses that a company incurs before it's established. Okay, before we start a company or we begin a company, there would be a lot of expenses that we go through, right? These expenses are called as our preliminary or pre-operative or pre-incorporation expenses. Now, since it's just the beginning of the company, the management would tell you not to treat them as expenses, rather to take them as asset. Okay, so that's why we call them as fictitious asset, and they would have the nature of expense, but we need to treat them as asset till the time that our management tells you to. Okay, it could be maybe few years, right? So then till then we need to treat these expenses as our fictitious asset. Now, when we're starting a new business, we know that we need to have a lot of promotion, right? There'll be a lot of promotional expenses, and that's going to be for a huge value, right? So such expenses again will be treated as our fictitious asset. Here we are talking about the promotional expenses at the beginning of the company, okay, not later on. So at the beginning of the company, when we have a huge promotional expense for us, for our company, that would be taken as our fictitious asset and not treated as an expense, okay? So when we talk about fictitious asset, we are saying that these expenses or these assets are not really asset in nature, they are expenses in nature, but they are taking place before the company starts or begins. And because of that, we can't really treat them as expenses for now. Okay, so we treat them as fictitious asset. And even in fictitious asset, like we saw in the case of prepaid expenses, every month it would be adjusted. Okay, so here when we talk about fictitious asset, we are saying those assets that don't have the nature of asset but are expenses in reality. But for the time being, that is till the management tells us to treat them as asset, we would treat them as fictitious asset. And the types that we see here will be our preliminary expenses, which can also be called as pre-operative expenses or pre-incorporation expenses. Okay, so from the name itself, you know, these are expenses taking place before the company begins. All right, now after that we have promotional expense, which is a huge value. We've written it as huge value because at the beginning of the company we would have to spend a lot of money for promotion. So here again, we wouldn't treat it as an expense, rather we take it as a fictitious asset. The examples of fictitious assets are preliminary expenses, or the other name for it is pre-operative or pre-incorporation expenses. And then we have our promotional expense, which has taken place before the company began or before we started our business. Okay, so we know that is going to be for a huge amount and we can't at once take it into expense. So we take it as our asset or our fictitious asset. And like we saw in the case of prepaid expenses, every month, that is at the end of each month, we would move a certain amount to expenses from this. Okay, that's how we would adjust it. So now we understand that fictitious asset means they are these kind of expenses that are treated as asset. All right. So now we see that under non-current asset, we've talked about fixed asset or our long-term tangible asset. Then we saw what intangible assets are. Then we talked about fictitious asset now. Now the fourth person we're going to talk about is deferred expenses.
Now we know what deferred expenses are, right? We talked about this in our prepaid expenses chapter. Prepaid expenses were the expenses that took place within the next 12 months. Now, deferred expenses are those that are taking place even beyond that, okay? That is, we saw year 2, year 3, year 4. Remember, right? Okay, so these expenses are treated as our asset itself. The fourth person that we saw